Some of the solar panels, we tried to experiment because there were a lot of rumours out there, a lot of hearsays, tracking solar will generate 40% more power than fixed solar, and everyone's going, oh, yeah, that's great. So we put all of these systems onto the Pixel building to test, and we can say with absolute certainty that tracking solar does not generate 40% more power than fixed solar. In fact, it costs you quite a lot of money to fix the tracker, and you could buy a lot of power for that maintenance money.
When we look to the future of our skyscrapers, our homes and our cities, we dream of a time where eco-friendly structures dominate the landscape, where the materials used support the environment, not harm it. Now, while this vision might be something we all agree is good for humanity, getting there is another matter. I'm Dr. Graeme Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M and Mix 94.5. Helping you work smarter. In this episode, green buildings. A man who's dedicated his life to developing greener systems in architecture and design is Dylan Brady from Decibel Architecture. His company, Studio 505, is behind the Pixel building, which was built back in 2010, and Dylan says it's still recognised as the greenest commercial building in Australia.
Tell me about the Pixel building.
So the Pixel building was spurned out of a desire to build, as a demonstration, the greenest building that could be built. So thinking about systems that tie these things together, we've got wind turbines and solar panels on the building. There's a little weather station on the building as well that's connected to the building management system so that we know how sunny it is and how much power is coming off the panels, and we know how windy it is and how much power is coming off the turbines.
When it comes to green buildings, there's some terminology you need to wrap your head around.
There's a couple of terminologies. One's carbon zero and one is carbon neutral. A carbon zero building is a building whose operation doesn't generate any carbon dioxide through the utilisation of passive energy generation systems and the reduction of the energy that you use. A carbon neutral building is a building that not only does that for the operational energy, but also offsets the embodied energy that's been locked up in the building, so the energy that went into making the concrete or the aluminium and the various components and manufacturing process and construction of the building itself. You work out that if you can generate more electricity and power than you actually use and feed it back into the grid, then you're offsetting the carbon dioxide that's been locked up into the building.
And is that the case with the Pixel building? It generates its own power?
Yes, we generate our own power. We generate our own water. So the rain's collected on a green roof. It's treated in a through an osmosis filter into a water tank that then delivers that to all of the showers and the toilets and the basins and those kinds of things. We then have a vacuum toilet system because the biggest water usage in any office building is the toilets. We tend in Australia and most Western countries to flush vast quantities of perfectly drinkable water down the toilet. What we do in the Pixel building is we have a vacuum toilet system, very much. It's exactly like what's on an aeroplane. So it's a very small delivery of water. We use about 1/20th. Of the amount of water that you would normally use. And that lets us have an anaerobic digester that we harvest the methane gas from in order to heat the hot water.
But as you might imagine, when you're trying to go as green as you can, a few challenges appear. According to Environment Protection Authority rules, it turns out
that you're not allowed to drink rainwater, technically, right, even though all water is rainwater. And you can tell that to 25,000 farming families who live out in the country with a rainwater tank. But we had to connect to a potable water supply for the drinking water because no one was happy to accept that water that had been filtered through rooftop gardens, osmosis filters, and basically nature was okay to drink.
So if you're trying to go green, Dylan doesn't recommend necessarily going all the way. But he says there are things architects and builders can do to bring a little more green to your structure.
I think that one of the things that you need to do is you need, as an average architect, to bring sustainability to bear, you need to really listen to your client. So you can look at reducing their energy costs, you can look at reducing their water consumption. More and more, the rating tools today and the techniques today are about being able to use different kinds of materials like cross-laminated timber. Cross-laminated timber is used in buildings now because it's faster, it's more economic, It's more human. You need less labour to deliver it. And so there's a whole economic argument for it, which means you don't have to be a zealot on a box saying, do it in timber. Developers look at it and they go, well, it's 20% faster to build and it's half the weight and I need three guys, not 27, and I can do things faster. These are reasons that, without even being sustainable, automatically generate carbon sequestration in your buildings.
Cast your mind forward in the coming years, decade even. What excites you most about the future in your area?
So I think that we build buildings the same way today as we did 200, 300, 400 years ago. Hammers, nails, bits. Well, there are lessons in technology and in automation in manufacturing systems that have to come to bear on our built environment in an efficiency way. And as soon as you start thinking about that, you naturally have opportunities for improvements in environmental footprint. One of the most exciting moments I had was at XLAM's factory in New Zealand, where I saw they were manufacturing timber composite, cross-laminated timber panels that had been reinforced in the build-up of the timber panels with a different kind of timber that had a higher tensile strength. And I realised it was like a timber-reinforced timber panel with particular kinds of elements laid up exactly where you need them. So when you start looking at carbon fibre materials and we're putting material exactly where we want it, where robots are able to help us generate the flow paths and we don't just lay a mesh of Rio, we actually put the reinforcement where we know it's going to be working and it's worked into the actual technology. So I think craft and technology are coming together with a new set of materials. And when we bring those materials, the crafts and the old ways of making and weaving together with robotics and the new ways of actually handling stuff, we're going to have an incredibly different opportunity to realise buildings that don't just use less energy, but that make energy.
XLAM's products that Dylan mentioned were intriguing to me, so I gave Nick Houston a call. He's the head of design at XLAM.
What is cross-laminated timber?
Cross-laminated timber is basically we take softwood timber boards, lay them up in layers at 90 degrees to each other and glue them together under pressure. What you come out with is basically like a jumbo sheet of plywood, which can be up to around 300 millimetres thick. We can use that for walls, for floors, for roofs in multi-storey buildings. So it's a very versatile product.
And why does Nick consider cross-laminated timber so eco-friendly?
All the timber that goes into our products are all sourced from sustainably managed forests within about 100 kilometre radius of the factory. And timber itself obviously takes in carbon dioxide as it's growing. And for every cubic metre of timber that we use, it's sequestered about 800 kilograms of CO2 out of the atmosphere. And that CO2 is then locked into the structure. So it acts as a big carbon sink for a building, and that can offset operational running costs and the embodied carbon of other processes and materials in the building.
So do you see a big future for building with wood more in terms of, we want to be more sustainable into the future?
Absolutely. I think, timber is effectively the only really renewable construction material that we have available to us. Other materials like steel and concrete are very labour and energy and carbon intensive, but CLT and timber in general can help to balance that. And there's a lot of it out there. We can regrow the timber used in a typical building in a matter of an hour or so. So it's really just being able to generate structural materials out of thin air, which I think is a fantastic sustainability story.
And tell me about that. You can regrow the material in an hour. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so if we said that an average sort of mid-rise apartment building contained about 1,000 cubic metres of CLT, the forest can regrow that in about an hour.
And what's the hope for the future of cross-laminated timber?
I hope to see this material really start to become commonplace in the industry. At the moment, it's seen as a sort of very out there solution, and I would really like to see it become part of the everyday language of construction for people to understand the benefits and the potential of using it, and to use it in the right places, and to really unlock the benefits that other materials can't.
There are definitely challenges when it comes to transforming our homes and cities into greener, more energy-efficient structures. But with the rapid rise of carbon-friendly building techniques and better building materials, a greener future could lie within reach. I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M, and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter.
The views expressed during this series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Ford Motor Company Australia Limited.